Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us.
Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination.
One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask New People, AskNewPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Hello, and thank you so much for joining us for your Ring of Honor and TNA Impact Review. We appreciate you joining us here on Thursday, September 12th. We are straight up in autumn, baby, all right? We are rocking and rolling. So get in your super chats if there's anything that you want to chat about tonight. Please leave a thumbs up on this video as well, because I think we're going to need help with people finding us in the algorithm. I can't imagine a lot of people are going to be searching out this episode of ROH because, man, you can tell it's autumn. And we're getting those, like, root vegetables in, because if you love a good squash, this episode is for you. That's all I got. But I'm joined by SP3. We appreciate you being in the chat. We appreciate you touching tips. I would appreciate it if ROH had consistency and care behind their product for more than 6 weeks, so I can stop getting excited like an ex-girlfriend holding out hope that they're going to get back together. I am tired of the quote-unquote lack of sustained effort with this stuff. But the talent is world-class. They deserve better than what they're getting, in my opinion. The infantry and outrunners are friends now. Like, there's so much that made no sense on this episode tonight and was wildly unsatisfying. I don't even have a Blue Chew ad to throw to after that. But, man, I'm so glad I'm joined by SP3. You saw him on the Friday Night SmackDown and Collision Hybrid review that we did this past Friday. You can see him also on the upcoming Collision review with Iridian. He's our, like, just constantly coming in for the bullpen. He's our long reliever at SP3. SP3, how you doing?
Now, no longer the substitute teacher of FIFO. Now I'm the Mariano Rivera of FIFO. I'm the Enter the Sandman, just hit the Metallica music, and I come through. I literally had to give Kate the long pause intro that I will give y'all now. I hate to say it, but I think we're at the point where I want them to record with Collision again. Like, that's how bad we are. Not like Kate is always on the positive side of, I want them to care again. I want them to make this product into something. I'm at the point where I just want them to record with Collision, where they can basically become a little bit more, you know, judicious with the amount of matches, so I don't have a 12-match card with 10 of the matches being squashes. Like, I prefer them to just record with Collision, where we got 7 to 8 matches with 6 of them being squashes. Like, I prefer that over a 12-match card with 10 squashes. This was unreal. Like, I think I have way too many jobs in professional wrestling. I'm like Kate at this point, where I'm just like, I'm like Kate with podcasts with the amount of jobs that I have, and I cannot sustain watching a 12-match show with 10 squashes. This was unreal.
It was, it's so unfair to the talent. Like, it's just so unfair to the talent. It's ridiculous that Dustin Rhodes holds two titles and is not here to defend any of them. It's kind of ridiculous he holds two titles in general. No offense to him. Like, unbelievable worker still at this age. One of the, like, from just a pure ring psychology standpoint, he is so good at getting fans invested and paying off their investment. He's in his 50s. He's holding two Ring of Honor titles. Neither of them appeared on the show today. Mark Briscoe was not on the show today. Athena was not in action. Red Velvet was not in action. Atlantis Jr. was in action, and it wasn't even the main event. This was an insult to the talent. And, like, I'm not going to complain. I get paid to talk about wrestling. But, like, come on, man. Give me something to review. Like, I am so frustrated by the trajectory of ROH and how it's gone. Because they will heat stuff up for a short bit and then just throw it out the window. But we are going to get into all of it tonight. So get in your super chats, leave a thumbs up, help me and SP3 get through this one. Cause this was a rough one, man. This was a rough one. And we don't even.
Sammy Guevara is John Cena, folks. I'm sorry. I couldn't hold it in. I was going to hold it in until he got to the match.
No, you're fine.
But Sammy, they put Sammy for Guevara like John Cena. He beat four people. Oh my God. What are we doing?
And he's one half of the tag team champions. What are we doing?
He's got a tag team championship partner. His tag team championship partner is one third of the six-man tag team champions. None of them can show up to help him. And he still won.
He still won. Bring in the Nexus. Just do it. Just have Sammy squash the Nexus. But let's get it started on the right note, because if there's anything I love, it's pretty Peter Avalon. I love Peter Avalon so much. I've missed him. I wish he would be on ROH consistently or somewhere consistently, because I feel like if there's anyone who, if you're going to give me a directionless product, someone that I want to see under any circumstances is Peter Avalon. So I was at least entertained by what we started off with here. We have him at Atlantis Jr. in a Proving Ground match. The ground, undisturbed, just unproven here, but Atlantis Jr. winning with a huge frog splash. Peter Avalon in this faking a knee injury, because while he is pretty, he is also sneaky. But this was a fun match. Peter Avalon's always great. Like, he's so, he could fill the same role. Like, I think he's capable, has a much higher ceiling than they're ever going to give him credit for, but he could be, like, if you needed someone to be, like, in a Serpentico role or something like that, like, a guy who could just make everybody look great and eat pins, he's one of the guys that can do it. Like, he's really, really good. Not sure why a TV title match, the only title on the program, wasn't your main event. Our main event was a fantastic match, but didn't mean anything. You're literally editing these together. What are we doing? Like, even the editors don't care. This is such, like, a C-minus effort, man. It's so frustrating to me when the talent are so good. But I did like our opener here. I don't know why it was the opener properly. But it was a really good match. It's nice to see a champion around. It's nice to see Atlantis Jr. defending. I don't think this is something they're going to be running back, though, so I have to wonder what is next for Atlantis Jr. We also didn't see Shane Taylor on the show tonight. I have no idea who's aiming at this TV title right now. But the match that they gave us tonight, I thought was a really fun opener. What did you think?
Yeah, I thought this was a pretty good way to kick off the show. Peter Avalon, yeah, he's so talented. He's got that little slimy charm to him that makes him entertaining. And you were definitely right. Like, Atlantis Jr., oh my God, that frog splash, that high-fi flow, or I don't know what it is. Someone give me the pronunciation of high-fi flow in Spanish. That's what I would call what Atlantis Jr. What Atlantis Jr. just did. It was great. I want to see more of Atlantis Jr. I wish I could see more of Atlantis Jr. I just checked out him in the CMLL International Grand Prix, which Claudio Castagnoli won, and he was good in that match as well. I want to see more of Atlantis Jr., but this was a good way to kick off the show, seeing Atlantis Jr., the TV champion, back on the show. And hopefully, you know, they build some stories with, like, the guys in the main event going after Atlantis Jr. or someone up and down this card going up against Atlantis Jr. in the future. Let's do some promos. Let's do some work. Like, the only promos we got on this show, the women's division is back to carrying the storytelling on this show, basically.
Which they're great at, but they shouldn't be the only ones doing it. Ricardo saying, I hate episodes that are basically collages. Me too, man. Me too. ROH is AEW dark, and I think that's just what it is. The problem is, it's not. the problem is, it shouldn't be. It has champions on it. Like, AEW dark, you knew what you were signing up for, right? Like, ROH, sometimes they care, sometimes they don't. Sometimes it's independent talent, sometimes it's signed talent, sometimes it's people from the AEW main roster that show up. Like, It is so frustrating that they just flip the identity of what the show is at any given moment. So I get what you're saying, because it certainly feels that way, but I don't believe it's intended to. So that is very annoying. Guys, leave a thumbs up on this video. We need your help tonight. We need all the love we can get. No one's going to be like, oh, what a banger episode of ROH that was. Let me go look up a review. Like, that's not happening tonight. So we need you guys to keep us fresh in the algorithm for people. It will also give you the Fightful Select hard sell. Okay, we got some Danny Garcia news up on Fightful Select that broke earlier today. Sean also said, how about a whole bunch of stuff? So I assume a whole bunch of stuff is coming. More contract news on the way. I know yesterday he got asked on The Hump, just a meet update in general. Because where's Wardlow? Where's Miro? Where are all these guys? And he said, you know what? I'll do a meet update. So subscribe to Fightful Select for your meet update, if no other reason. And also hang out with us in the Discord. There's good people in the Discord. It's a very normal environment, which is refreshing comparatively Namaste. To social media. Not all fired up like I am about this episode of ROH tonight, but we do have Billy Starks, who calls an emergency mem, your minion meetings here, with the ROH Women's Champion Athena. And she wants to know why Athena is gassing up Lexi Nair, as Lexi has this minion number one jacket. And oh my God, where can I buy one? I want one. I mean, I'm minion 69, but
light up jacket.
Somebody consulted Jericho from his light up jacket days. And this was good stuff. We're continuing to, I think, lean toward the inevitable Billy Starks turning on Athena kind of thing here, with Starks complaining that Lexi was getting credit for her work, which she was. We saw it with our own two eyes last week, and Athena basically says, don't let the jealousy overshadow your own happiness, which was really nice, and don't snitch on Lexi. So Athena left an upset Billy Starks mulling things over, which I thought was a good piece of continued storytelling here. I gotta say, we have Athena on the cusp of breaking a record, and it feels like we need to lead toward the payoff of this title soon. Like, she's great at everything she does, but this is getting a little bit long in the teeth now. Like, they do have to either evolve the next step or have her drop to Billy sooner than later. But a good segment that we got here tonight. What are your thoughts on both this segment and that?
I thought the segment was good, with Billy kind of snapping a bit, saying that, does Athena even watch the show back? Like, and Athena answered her, like, watch the show back? Like, what? I'm on the show. Like, why would I watch it back? I know, like Billy just being so upset, and it felt like, oh wow, I was kind of surprised. I thought they would like push this along a little bit further, because I don't think, unfortunately for what you said, I don't think we're getting the payoff of the Billy Starks Athena story until Final Battle. until December. So I think that I thought they would push this along with her kind of finally making a good point about, you know, Lexi Nair taking basically credit for everything that she's been doing for her, whether it's interfering at Death Before Dishonor, whether that's helping her with Abaddon a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, she's finally asking for the credit that she deserves. And then Athena just kind of brushes her aside. But I think this is further. This was just a tease of the eventual bigger blow up of Billie Starks, where she finally snaps. I do agree with you. This is getting a little long in the tooth. And literally, Athena's breaking that record next week. Like, and they legitimately just keep saying she's coming close to the record. No, she is breaking the record next week. On next week's show, there should be some type of acknowledgement that
she's breaking
this record. Hopefully we're not still doing these Texas tapings, because y'all left Texas like 2-3 weeks ago now. So hopefully y'all are back to recording with Collision, because we need some fresh content and you acknowledging that Athena has officially broken the Samoa Joe record, the greatest record, the Bruno Sammartino record of Ring of Honor that she has broken, and the most title defenses, like Carice Coleman also adds every time he brings it up. We need to have that be acknowledged. Also, my only nitpick of this segment is that, and the fact that they really didn't acknowledge the fact that Athena is currently feuding with Abaddon. Like, that was really kind of brushed aside, you know, to focus on Billie having her little blow up to the eventual bigger blow up, which I don't know if that was a good point. You could have kind of checked all the boxes here where you're acknowledging that Athena's about to break the record. She has Abaddon in her sights for the next title defense, and then the bigger title defense is Billie. I think they could have done better with the time that they got to kind of check all those boxes at once, instead of just the Billie getting frustrated with Athena box.
Yeah, and I feel like with Abaddon, didn't they have a match last week that they could have just edited into this episode instead?
That was exactly what we said last week, Kate, that last week's episode, half of it could have been this week's episode. Just like this week's episode, half of it could have been next week's episode.
You told 1.5 stories tonight. You could have included all the segments from the one story on this episode. Man, like, when even the editing is lazy, it's a bummer. And I'll say this, like, I don't actually get emotionally upset about creative. I really don't. But I will be genuinely disappointed if they don't do something for Athena's celebration. Because, like, that is so beyond earned with what that woman has done for that promotion. I don't think she's taken any time off that wasn't because of injury. Like, she has carried that. So you better carry that over into kayfabe, right? I'll be like, that will genuinely make me annoyed. But we're not the only ones annoyed. Shame Monster with the chat. Thank you guys for the chats. They really do help us out.
Yes.
Say TMDK SP3 Men and a Baby. That's a really good one.
I love that.
I love that one. This We Done, We Back, We Done is depressing. Put Leo Rush in the main event title scene. Put a TV title on Preston. Just something. Yeah, like, where'd Shane Taylor go? Like, he's challenged for both titles. Like, it's really hard to have challengers when your title isn't around. Like, and now this episode, they just gave up completely. I'm building up anybody for that. But we will continue along here. More women's division stuff to talk about, which is awesome. Man, I'm really loving Harley Cameron. Harley Cameron and Queen Amidala. This was, I think, Harley Cameron's first loss, at least here in ROH.
Yeah.
And it comes to one of their top talent. A really fun spot from Cameron in here where she drags Queen Amidala to the outside and bounces her head off the apron, which, SP3, I don't know if you know this. That's the hardest part of the ring.
Been told.
But we do have Amidala hitting a lights out spinning back elbow and just knocking Harley Cameron out cold for the pin here. This is all good stuff. What brand is Queen Amidala on? Why is she challenging for an AEW Women's World title? What happened to the alliance with Queen Amanada and Red Velvet? Like, what on earth? Like, here's where it's concerning too. She is clearly a top talent in ROH. She is very high profile, always kind of sniffing around the upper card of ROH. And if you don't even know what the hell you're doing with people that are in the upper card, what the hell am I supposed to think about the mid card and down? And this is the women's division, the thing that they actually give a shit about. So that is concerning to me. I loved the alliance with her and Velvet. If she is moving on to the main roster sooner than later, then I get dropping that, because they kind of set up this alliance with Serena Deeb and she's getting this world title shot. This is obviously from a pre-recorded taping from weeks ago, so maybe she won't be sticking around. But then, like, have someone beat her on the way out. Or is she going to be on both? Like, pick a lane and drive in it. It's so annoying, but match tonight is good. I'm excited for Harley Cameron's future, genuinely. Like, I think there's a lot of potential with that young woman, and that she can do a lot of things very well, considering she's had, like, less than 40 matches in her career. It's pretty impressive, and she's grasped some of the harder storytelling stuff very, very quickly. And I think the fundamentals are starting to catch up, but I don't know, man. What do you think?
This is once again where I'm sure y'all can edit this, where y'all can have this match last week where she gets a win, then she does the whole angle with Mariah. At least for me that watches all of this AEW, as I like to call it, the Converse. I watch all of the Converse. So you could have had her beat Harley Cameron on ROH TV. Then she did the angle with Mariah May and Sky Blue at All Out. And then she gets a title eliminator on Dynamite, which it makes some kind of sense. Yes. But no, you booked it like we had already seen this, where she got called up to the AEW roster, which when they did that angle at All Out, I was like, I don't know if she should be, you know, Mariah May's first feud. I was hoping not, because I like Queen Amanada, and I agree with you. I think that she could be a top talent and a future Ring of Honor Women's World Champion on ROH TV. But y'all kept her off of AEW TV outside of that one appearance in the Collision 4-Way matchup for like months. Then she immediately gets into a feud with Mariah May, which I was like, she lost the number one contendership for the TBS championship. How did she get to the bigger belt? Okay. But then they just made that a title eliminator, and they previewed that it's going to be the bigger feud is Mariah and Mina, which I think is a better choice for Mariah May's first feud because of the history they have together. And then she's back here on ROH TV getting a win. So I guess she's in both. I'm just so confused. I'm confused with all of this. I don't know who's booking. Is this the same company? Is it? I don't know what's going on anymore.
It really feels like, well, and some of the problem with this is it's just dated, right? Because it's from weeks ago at this point. So that is a problem. But like, it is, there are certain patterns that you can pick up on that are an issue with both brands. And then there are issues between the connection of them. So for example, in both AEW and ROH, to me, there's an issue with how bloated the roster is, but how much the titles are occupied by the same people. Like, Will Ospreay, international champion, is getting a tag team title shot. Jack Perry, the TNT champion, got a world title shot. Darby Allin, who got a TNT title shot, was also supposed to get a world title shot until Mox stepped in. Here, you have Dustin Rhodes holding the Trios title and the tag team title. Nobody can break in that way, right? Like, there are things that are congruent on both programs that aren't working. And then there's things like this, right? Where it's like, you have people that are two different people on both programs. Like, God bless the Outrunners for being so over, but like, they're not near, there's no contenderships at ROH right now. So you can't even have these guys go up on AEW and say like, oh my God, they're the hottest things in ROH. Cause they're not getting a bunch of wins in ROH. Like, there's no contendership. Or man, these guys lost their title shot against Dustin and Sammy, but they looked great doing it. So we're going to see what they look like in this Casino Gauntlet. Like, not MXM, not the Outrunners, like, not the Righteous even, who I feel like are a priority. So it's really, really rough when you have people that are, and in some nights it's two nights apart, right? They show up on Collision. I saw them losing two nights earlier. Like, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. The entire tag division is
a mess.
It's a mess. And it's getting restocked talent-wise, which is good, but they got to fix the booking on it. They've got to fix the booking on it. But this is one of those things where it's like, I already knew Queen Amanada was great, and I already knew she could probably kick Harley Cameron's ass. So what did I gain from this? She's not a contender. She already lost to Athena. She's not going after Red Velvet. She is going after Mariah May. This doesn't work. It doesn't work.
Yeah. And I don't know. I don't know if that's going to continue. But this might have been, in the Converse, yes, I'm using it again, in the Converse, this might have been the most baffling week of booking. Everything they did on Dynamite, and I just want to say, I enjoyed a lot of it. I enjoyed the Jon Moxley and Darby Allin promo exchange. That was really like a conversation, and Darby trying to debo a title match. Moxley trying to debo a title match out of Darby. Hand that over to me. Love that. But then they just completely just made it the biggest Grand Canyon logic hole ever with Nigel, who cut a great promo. And sold me on the matchup, and I was looking up flights last night to get back to New York for Grand Slam, because I would love to be 15 years later after I was there in 2009 to see Nigel and Brian once again. But that whole situation is like a Grand Canyon of a logic hole. Then you got Jericho doing one of the worst segments in AEW history with pennies being dropped on a convertible. Then you have the tag team division. This is supposed to be a showcase for the tag team division, but you're just exposing that only three teams are over: FTR, The Acclaimed, MXN got a good reaction, but the real over team was the Outrunners out of all the teams in that match. They got
Kentucky
a
Pop too.
Kentucky Pop, absolutely. I'm all here for it, because those are like our ROH young boys coming over, and sure, the youngest men alive.
The youngest men alive, yeah.
Youngest men alive going over to AEW and getting that big pop. So I love that. But then Hollywood, Will Ospreay, what you gonna do, bruv? Big League, the whole tag team division. Big League. Oh my God. I was like, really? This is supposed to be a showcase of the tag team division? This team's never teamed
up. Didn't look it. Didn't look it.
And then you get this episode of Ring of Honor TV. Man, I'm just gonna do a prayer to the AEW gods that we can get this together before Saturday in Collision. And we can have a show that makes sense, because y'all are 0-2 on shows that made any sense to me.
Truly. And to your point, there was a lot that I liked on Dynamite. I liked maybe 90% of it, but the 10% that missed so hard. Missed so hard. But the other thing about, and we'll revert back to ROH here shortly, but the other thing with AEW Dynamite, I was looking at my notes. I was like, they just did way too much. They did way too much. By 8:11, they had done 4 backstage segments. That's too much. Like, you have to save some stuff for Collision, which is already feeling less important by the week. So, like, they've really, really, really got to figure things out as far as pacing. Because that, they had like an 8-minute overrun, and it still felt like too much. But Ricardo's saying, Queen Amanada lost up. Billy, Athena, and now Mariah. Yeah, it makes no sense. It makes no sense. I'm wondering if that was supposed to be, I wonder if the plan was for Mina, and then I think back in Japan there was a tournament going on. I don't really keep up with the Joshi scene that much, so I wonder.
There was the five-star.
Oh, that's right.
Grand Prix, but she wasn't a part of that. Like, she went back to Japan, I guess, because Stardom was like, hey, we need you over here for some. I know they have a big show on Saturday, so maybe it's for that. Maybe it was why that. She had to go back to Japan. But did we really need Queen Amanada when she was catching momentum on Ring of Honor? Couldn't we find somebody else for that spot? But
find somebody else, and like, I don't think you needed to have a defense on Wednesday. You know what I mean? Yeah. But we've got Matthew Hook saying AEW needs to have a rule. No one is on more than one show a week. Between all four shows, 80% of your roster could easily get used could get used easily, especially with the new TV deal. Yeah, I am nervous about Shockwave and what that would turn into, because they do not need a fifth show. They do not
this
need
be five shows in the Converse.
If
this
you, if the plan was let's can Rampage and do a 2-hour show on Fox head to head with SmackDown to pick up on those habit viewers that were already tuning into SmackDown, that's a little easier to stomach, because then you're actually only picking up one extra hour. And it's, I mean, that to me feels like, I don't know anything, like, as far as how close they are or any of that nonsense, but if Fox wants to keep wrestling and say, man, it would be nice to spend about a third of what we were, and AEW says a third of what you gave SmackDown? Hell yeah! Like, there's a lot of win-win in that. There's a lot of win-win in that for everyone, so fingers crossed, because wrestling is on fire right now. But we move on to something that makes... It's kind of the beginning of Squash Central, if we're being real. We got Top Flight defeating Finn Parker, Dante Leon, and CD Bennett. Andrade planting Bennett with a swinging side slam, and Dante getting the pin in this. I'm sorry to sound like such a cranky little bitch today. I'll be real. Like, I'm sorry. Are they a tag team? Are they a trio? Are they on AEW? Are they on ROH? Another one that needs to pick a lane and stick to it. I don't think the trio thing works. Do the two brothers, set them on some consistent creative. I felt like them versus the Young Bucks was a slam dunk. You had the brothers versus the brothers, who had the evil EVPs picking on the innocent young kids who are finally both healthy. Why that hasn't become a title shot, I don't know. Why Top Flight didn't win instead of Team Bruv, I don't know. The match is going to be insane, by the way. The Young Bucks versus Team Bruv is going to be nuts.
Yeah.
But I don't want the tag titles being used to execute a story that doesn't need them. That feels very WWE to me. But, I mean, Top Flight always looks great. What am I supposed to say? Like, oh yeah, they were awesome. Like, they're a fantastic tag team who you're doing nothing with. They're a fantastic, when you include a trio, I guess Leo Rush wasn't a part of them today because he was in the main event. So there you go. But they looked great. They always do. I'm very happy that both Darius and Dante are healthy consistently for the same time so that we get to see them work together a little bit more frequently. But if you have any thoughts on this, God bless you, because what is there to say about pinning CD Bennett? No offense to him, but like, he's not on the show.
I like Top Flight, and unfortunately, the reason why they didn't win the tag team casino gauntlet is because did you see the lack of reaction they got? And that's not on them. They are great, because when Dante faced off with Ospreay, that got a reaction, because everybody was like, oh, Dante Martin and Will Ospreay in the ring together? That's awesome. So it had nothing to do with Top Flight and their talent, but it has everything to do with their booking, where they book them like they don't matter and that they're not a future rising star, future AEW World Tag Team Champions, which they should be booking them like. Thankfully, they took them out the stripper outfits. And now just book them properly and consistent on AEW television or ROH television, wherever. Just book them consistently. They are the type of team I would be like, I'm fine with them being on ROH and AEW, because I feel like they're young enough where they can get the reps, and wherever they're going to catch steam, put them on it. But even if they're catching steam in Ring of Honor, I still want to see them on AEW television. I like Top Flight. I just wish they would book them better.
But, like, it doesn't even feel like they're in contendership for the tag titles. It doesn't feel like anybody is. It does not feel like there are contenders for any of the titles in ROH, really, right now. And that sucks so much. Because what do these wins mean, then? Nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing.
Because we had a good heel tag team that we were, like, a month ago, hey, you can either the infantry's there. You got Top Flight there. There's nothing but babyface tag teams on Ring of Honor, and we have a babyface tag team as a champion. So it's like it feels like everyone's on a treadmill, and no one makes sense to beat Dustin and Sammy at this point.
It's brutal. And I thought for sure MXM was going to come in as a slam dunk and win those tag titles fast, and that they would be able to do a bunch of defenses And they could work either side because they're so silly that working with faces is fun. But they're technically heels because they're arrogant little, like, they're models, right? I mean, so they're out here facing House of Black and stuff. Like, they're technically, I guess you can book them however you want. And I think that would be something that would be very beneficial to the ROH product right now. So I'm with you. It's a bummer that these teams feel lost in the shuffle. And it feels like they're getting more stunted instead of less. But when we talk young tag teams, we got to talk about the youngest men alive. The Outrunners, Truth Magnum and Turbo Floyd, with the fantastic Erica Lee defeating Warren Jay and Zach Zilla. Part of the reason they got that huge pop was they do so much work out of OVW, and or were doing so much work out of OVW, and it really made me happy that this team that has worked for, I mean, they're probably, what, 20 years old? So for 2 years at OVW, got this huge reaction in the gauntlet. Also top sellers in merch. Like, they, I said it was a big month for Silly Goose teams in the AEW umbrella, right? Like, you had MXM, who are translating so much better in AEW than they did in WWE. The Outrunners are, like, hugely over right now. You need that. You needed a little personality in this tag division. And then we do something that makes absolutely no sense. We have the Outrunners who get the win and they start to pose, but they're interrupted by Jack Jameson and the Iron Savages, and the trio attacks the Outrunners, knocking them from pillar to post. But the Infantry comes out to even the odds, and I was under the impression that they didn't like the Outrunners.
They didn't.
They feuded for months about their finisher. What the hell is this? There better be some creative justifying this next week, because this makes absolutely no sense. I think the Infantry on the same side as the Outrunners is something that could be very fun, like, in a partnership way. But, like, last time we saw these guys, they were fighting over their literal finishing maneuver. Like, what are we doing? If it's because the Iron Savages are too big and scary, okay. Are they a tag team or are they a trio? They still can't decide that. Like, man, it is brutal. It is brutal to love this brand and love the talent so much and just have to shred this episode because it was terrible. Like, genuinely. I have complaints about every segment. This is one of them, unfortunately. Everybody involved is great, but where the hell did this come from? I don't know.
This is a segment that they could have made 3 weeks of television about. You could have just had the Outrunners win this matchup, Iron Savages beat them down, because it seems like on ROH TV, no heels can do a beatdown in the post-match without somebody coming out to make the save. We remember, what was it, like 3 weeks ago when they had Cage of Agony and Undisputed Kingdom beat the and Dark Order beat up the babyfaces, and we were both shocked that no one came out make the save, that the heels actually got to stand tall on this show. Is like the exception to the rule of no heels can stand tall and just do a beat down on baby faces. It always has to have someone make the save. But this is an instance where you could have made 3 weeks of television. Iron Savages stand tall, they beat down the Outrunners. Then next week, you do a squash with the Infantry. And then the Iron Savages come out and beat them down and stand tall. And then the third week, Outrunners do another squash. They win. Iron Savages jump them again. And then the Infantry comes out to make the save, where it makes sense that they are really getting revenge on the Iron Savages. And then they do the whole handshake with the Outrunners because they're coming together against a common enemy. Instead of them just randomly watching in the back and being like, hey, we should help the guys we were feuding with from months last year.
Yeah, you know what? I think because of this one instance, like, it's really, really tough to buy into. And also, like, do they give a shit? Do any of the tag teams give a shit about the tag titles? Like,
no.
I understand having title-adjacent stories, but we don't have a story for the tag titles, and they were won by a team that didn't exist. So, like, why aren't the Infantry holding the titles? Like, I was told by so many people that, like, this Undisputed Kingdom run, there's going to be a payoff. There was not a payoff. Like, at all. At all. It is rough. It is rough. And it's so frustrating because I am so happy when I see talent featured on the main roster, or so much of them were on the 0 hour for All Out. But like, oh, they're being used as enhancement talent, and that I'm told I'm supposed to care about them like the next day. I would love to know, outside of the Outrunners getting their one huge win, to people that job even more than they do. Like, I would love to know if there's any ROH victories from talent that have been sent up to work Collision in the past, I'll say since the beginning of the Texas tapings. Have any of them gotten a victory?
Well, just look at the Iron Savages, because I'm positive that they lost on Collision. I don't even remember at this point. That was so many days ago. I don't remember who they lost to.
So much
on
has
Collision.
Happened in wrestling.
then they lost to the Acclaimed on the 0 hour for All Out. Then they lost a squash match to Jericho, Big Bill, and Brian Keith of the Learning Tree on Dynamite. Then they couldn't even do a post-match beatdown on this show. They are really having a rough week.
It is a rough week to be an Iron Savage. They do not feel very savage right now. They feel like iron little babies right now, sadly. But we'll move along. We get Robin Renegade defeating Angelica Risk. Renegade kind of selling, getting frustrated more and more as this match went on, which I liked, and she hits a pump handle slam to put away the pesky Angelica Risk, who was hanging in there for a while against Robin for the win. This match happened. That's all I got. Like, sure.
Hey, I like the fact they put, you know, Robin Renegade in there with someone smaller than her. She actually looked like a giant for once.
Yeah, she did.
I loved her and Angelica Riss slapping each other's titties off, because I literally thought that when they were chaining chops, and then Angelica Riss said it, and I was like, oh, this is awesome. I like this. And then, you know, Robin Renegade tried to, you said a pump handle slam, but she was really trying to do the bitter end, but it just didn't look right. So, yeah.
That makes sense. That makes sense. No idea. Robin has looked really good. FightfulSelect.com reported that Charlotte has been backstage, which is a good sign. So hopefully they're building towards something, but like, she is not, felt like she's a part of the ROH roster in months and months and months. Months and months and months. Shea Monster saying that Risk is a great yapper in the ring. She is. She very much is. She very much is. So this was fine, but why it happened, I'll never know. We get Jacoby Watts cutting a promo from purchased airtime, which I liked. He calls out EJ and Duka, who issued a challenge for him next week on behalf of him and Nick Comoroto. I'm intrigued to see if this taping features Nick Comoroto. Like, on behalf of himself and Nick, right? So, like, is Nick the one who's getting in the ring with him, I'm guessing? Or is Jacoby Watts the one getting in the ring? Like, I wasn't clear on that from the promo, and I don't know if that was intentional, like if that was before or after he went into surgery, or if my notes just suck.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination.
One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
I'm pretty sure he was like alluding to Nick Camarado taking the matchup, but I think that they left that little vagueness because they probably knew that Nick was going to get the surgery, maybe?
That could be. So we will see. If it's Nick Camarado, that would be awesome because size-wise, that would just be a like deliciously fun matchup. But our best to him for sure. Yeah. So we move on to the Righteous Dutch and Vincent, who were also in that gauntlet because tag team divisions just melt, I guess, into one. They defeat James Blackheart and JC Valentine. Vincent getting tagged in and grabbing Blackheart in a carry. And Dutch slamming both of the opponents. And they hit the orange sunshine to pick up the win here. When you said we had like 10 squashes on the card, I don't know really how to give proper critique or analysis. Are they headed toward a tag title shot? They keep tweeting about Mox. Are they in this thing with Mox? Are they on AEW to just be made to look bad to MJF when he needs it? I don't know. Are they with Lance Archer? All of the tag teams are also trios. It drives me absolutely batshit. Like, how many tag teams are also trios drives me crazy. Crazy. Ugh, drives me nuts. But always good to see the Righteous in action, though. Dutch with that slam is always so nasty looking. But decent stuff. It's just like, we're not headed toward contendership. You're showing up losing tag team gauntlets on Wednesdays, tweeting at Mox, and Lance Archer's throwing people around like he might be involved in this thing. Like, again, pickling and driving it is kind of how I feel. But how do you feel, SP3?
I love the moment after the matchup where the whole front row was doing the snaps with Vincent. That made over them like look Rover. So that made them look so over. And then I had to watch Dynamite where I wish these fans were there in Kentucky, because I don't know what. Just keep them on ROH TV. You talked about it at the beginning of the show. They're picking up momentum. They're in the tag team division. They could go after the six-man tag team titles. I know you don't like guys being in both divisions, but they're picking up steam on Ring of Honor. Whichever division they choose, just pick a lane and stay there and go for it. But they don't need to be on AEW television. There was enough tag teams in that matchup. You didn't need to put the Righteous out there until you're ready to really commit to getting them over with the AEW roster. They were picking up momentum last year, and then you just had MJF beat them at Wrestle Dream. So let's regroup.
Let's bring it back. Let's do some vignettes if you want to put them back on AEW television before you really introduce them, because that got them over the first time. I think that can get them over again. But if not, just keep them on ROH.
I agree. They're not... It's not like the Outrunners who got like such a big pop, so you want to include them in this. It just felt like, hey, we need bodies, and these guys are backstage at that Casino Gauntlet, which is unfair to a group that includes so much creative. Like they are such a specific gimmick, and all of their vignettes look great and things like that. Like, they take such creative care that you can't just really just toss them at a Casino Gauntlet and have it work. But we are going to move along, guys. Get in those super chats. Thank you for the support tonight. We appreciate the support and that you shared our frustrations a little bit with us. I feel like I should just throw this over to you. We do get to see Beef on the show, which is like one of the saving graces, SP3, which was wonderful, wonderful news. Feeling Dreepy said, if Beef needs to chill out, he should find Angelico. I think he should find Lady Frost, honestly. Like, if you need to chill out, you gotta be looking for Lady Frost. But this reminded me of, it's almost like a cartoon relationship where you have, like, the scrappy underdog, and then you have, like, the cool it's more like a Detective Stabler and Benson thing. You got the Benson and Anthony Henry, and you've got the wildly Stabler and Beef here, and he's just like, Anthony Henry wants him to get it together, to feel like a real deal tag team. And Beef is like, but I'm an excitable guy, man. But he's your dude. So what do you think?
He was like, cousin. And then cousin says, why are you always wet? then he got a phone call from JD Drake. About the Workhorseman coming back, and then Anthony Henry warned Beef that he has to chill, because if he doesn't chill, JD Drake is going to come back and slap him. So he's like, chill, chill. Oh, I can't chill. I can't chill. It popped me so much. It popped me so much.
Unreal.
I went to this day in this segment the rest of the show, and I was like, a half an hour later, I was like, I want them to go back to Beef, and he still can't chill. They should just have, they did that one week where they did like 5 learning tree segments, not telling them to do that again, but do 5 Beef segments on ROH in between matches where he's trying to get dry and stop being always wet, and he's trying to chill. You know, he can hang out with Angelico around the smoke, see if that helps, and he still can't chill. He's like, I just want to see more Beef. More Beef. I know it's a weird tattoo. More Beef.
I think if they're not going to do more pay-per-views, it would be cool if they did some TV specials, and like Beef hosting a TV special is something I could be very into. Very into. Not mad about it.
Wonderful idea.
Well, also kind of confused why this wasn't the main event, because I think they want us to think that Sammy Guevara is actually Superman. But he defeats Aria Daivari with Mark Sterling. He hits GTH and pins Daivari for the win. To your point, a lot of shenanigans in this. As our dear Cresta says, if you can shenan once, you can shenan again. But Sammy Guevara, with the strength of 1,000 men and the fire of 1,000 suns, defeating everybody that comes into his path here in the Premier Athletes. My personal attorney, Mark Sterling, out there as well. What the hell is... At least John Cena was, like, a big dude. Like, and I didn't even like it when he was doing this. What on earth was this? I get wanting your baby faces to look strong. This was stupid. This was stupid.
This is the second time this week I'm asking why with Sammy Guevara. Why did Sammy Guevara take 80% of a matchup against Ricochet, which he just came? You just came. You let him have a match with Kyle Fletcher where it went 50-50. That's bad enough. But then you let Sammy take 80% of the matchup last night, and then you turn around and he's John Cena here. He makes his comeback. He takes out both of the premier athletes on the outside. Josh Woods, basically a professional fighter in my eyes, a legit badass who should be beating people left and right. Tony Nese, who's one of the most underrated wrestlers in Ring of Honor. Ari Daivari is a good performer as well, and he just washes him, takes care of the premier athletes on the outside. He punches Smart Mark Sterling. And then after the matchup, I'm like, okay, so the premier athletes, okay, maybe they got separated, but this is 4-on-1, so they should just probably come into the ring and attack Sammy after this. No, tucked their tails between their legs and just walked Mark Sterling to the back. I was like, this is unreal. What am I watching?
The mid-athletes, maybe. The bad-athletes. There's something there. I'll find it.
Does anyone want to let Tony know that it's 2024 and the Sammy Guevara project might have already failed? I like Sammy. Don't get me wrong. I like Sammy. I think he's a really good babyface. I think him being in the tag team division is a good idea if he wasn't already a tag team champion after two matches.
Love Wrestling saying, what in tarnation did we deserve so much wonderful on screen? Guys, follow the Love Wrestling crew. They do amazing. Amazing work. They're just like, we're running the biggest mall in Canada. No big deal. We're also nice and we do things the right way and we run awesome venues and we're really cool and we have a fun online presence. So go follow Love Wrestling. Everybody behind Love Wrestling that I've met is super cool. So
wonderful.
Something to brighten up our night. But we also get Lexi Nair, who with great hesitation interviews Red Velvet backstage. They disagree about what a champion should be. Velvet calls Lexi Nair bitter, and Velvet says that now that she's champion, the mean girl era is over. And then Diamante appears and calls Velvet Captain Save-A-Ho, which was kind of an odd one, and they had a weird little conversation about that. But sign me up for Diamante versus Velvet. I'm into that idea. It was just kind of a weird little throw-in, but I'll take it. Get me to the match.
Outside of beef, I liked most of the backstage segment. This was my third favorite. First was beef. Number two we'll get into, which was the follow-up of none of one of my favorite women's rivalries on this show.
Yes, we are going to get into that a little bit, but before we do, I just want to say that with all the squashes on the show and having beef on the show, we're getting like a nice little autumnal dinner here, I feel like.
getting fed on the Thursday night.
Well, we get Lady Frost back in action, which was very, very nice to see. She hits the frostbite from the top row on Promise Braxton. Some good stuff there. Nice to see her back in action. I hope she is working her way towards something is all that I really have to say about this. And nice to see Promise Braxton getting some more reps while these Texas tapings were going on. What did you think?
Good reaction for Promise Braxton. And yeah, Lady Frost looked good as always. Every time she's on TV, she looks good.
Something happened when she started working those Mexico circuits that like, she just put everything together, in my opinion. Like, she started hitting a little harder. Everything got more fluid. Like, and it's been really cool to see. It's been really cool to see. Meet Norm is saying, what's up, partners? I'm Sansa Blinding tonight, except I saw Uncle Willie slap some meat. When is Athena dropping the title and going to Dynamite? Wish I could tell you. It could be Final Battle. It could be whenever the pending Max deal goes into effect. We'll see what happens with like ROH TV-ish. But you mentioned Willie Mack, and so we get to talk about Willie Mack, who defeats Exodus Prime in this. Mack caught Prime with a stunner, climbs to the ring post, and hits a big splash for a 3 count. Perfectly fine match. Once again, neither of these guys are on the roster, to my knowledge. I have been wanting Willie Mack back. I think he's great, and he was doing some really fun work. even when they let him face people other than Gringo Loco, he was still doing great work. But this was, I don't think he signed. I would love for him to be signed. But neither of these guys are on the roster, and this match was on the show. Like, I really don't know where to go from there, but fun. Like, Willie Mack's always great to see, and Exodus Prime is great too. Don't know why it happened.
I do think Exodus Prime stood out. He got a lot of offense in this matchup, so I would like to see more of him. If you're going to give an indie talent a chance, Exodus Prime is a good one.
Yes, agreed. Very much agreed. Well, we get Preston Vance defeating Kevin Matthews, who is wrestling for reasons. He hits a spine buster and a big lariat on KM. I will say KM was a good person to have in the ring just from like a size standpoint, and he knows what he's doing in their standpoint. He's a producer. Not sure. Like, he's not like Jimmy Jacobs. You know what I mean? He's Jimmy Jacobs was integral to this brand and deserves all the pyro he could get. But this was perfectly fine. Preston Vance also gave a match or a pre-match promo saying he doesn't need the LFI crew. He doesn't need the Dark Order. He needs to find his why he does this. So I think ROH is perfectly ripe for someone like him in that I think he does need to do that. I think he does need to reestablish himself. So let him kind of find out who he is as a wrestler before you kind of throw him back onto the main roster or make any solid moves. I think this is a good space to figure yourself out in. What were your thoughts on this?
Cautiously optimistic about Preston Vance on Ring of Honor. I think this is the right spot for him where he can further develop and have a chance to get those reps in and potentially move up the ranks. But I have to be cautiously optimistic because I feel like this has happened to a few other people, and including one person that is currently the NXT champion. So I'm cautiously optimistic.
That is fair. That is very, very fair. I feel like it's even happened to him a little bit before. Not like independent of stables, but I think they've been trying to like find spots for him that haven't necessarily worked out the way we want them to for him. Guys, get in your chats. Leave a thumbs up on this video. We do have the TNA crew coming in shortly after this. You got Joel and Cresta this week before Cresta steps back for a minute and Joel attempts to go solo or just gives up. We'll see. We'll see what happens. But we got SAP and Fuego defeating the Ace of Space Academy, my friend LSG, and Colton Charles with Joe Alonzo. Angelico, grapevining, nasty to get the win in this. This really made me want a one-on-one match between Angelico and LSG because I know what LSG is capable of and I know what Angelico is capable of. The same way last week I was like, oh, I'd love to see like Cheeseburger and Rocky Romero. Kind of became one of those like, ooh, there's a good singles match in there, but LSG, Colton Charles, like very, very reliable workers here to do what they had to do. Joe Alonzo, nice to see him getting reps. Nice to see him back kind of on TV. He was one of the security guards that Marina Shafir ate for dinner a couple weeks ago. So, but I love Gio's work. I think he was great in this. Angelico's fantastic and has been underrated for quite a while. I'm glad he's getting some consistency. I would like to see him get to work towards something more substantive because he is a smooth operator in there, man. Really good stuff. I loved the great fine ending, how nasty that looked. And LSG's celibate when he rolled out of the ring. There was like this very, I'm going to use the C word, cinematic way that came together of like him slowly rolling away while everybody came in to celebrate. It was done so fluidly. Yeah. I was like, okay, all right. That felt like a match, even though there was no reason for it to happen. at least they tried hard on that. What did you think of our matchup here?
This was a fun little squash match. Out of all the squash matches, I think this will be the one I remember in a week from now because I love Angelico. I've really kind of caught my fandom of Angelico back again ever since he was smoking weed. That was a great segment.
A lot of people over.
Yeah, you know, I'm easy to please, folks. You just do a segment where it looks like you're smoking weed around a whole bunch of smoke. We need more backstage segments with Angelico, because I think I can get into this, but he's always great in the ring, and Serpentico and him make a good tag team, and I thought Friego was a good match for them in this trios match.
Yeah, this was fun. This was one of the more entertaining things that, even though it was superfluous and didn't really make sense, like it was a fun enough match that I was in it. We get AR Fox, who we haven't seen in a while, and Commander with Abrahantes, who I gotta say, it's starting to wear thin on me, the Abrahantes thing, defeating Brillante RB and Ariel Dominguez. Commander climbing the ring post and hitting a big splash for the win. Lot of wins via splash today. Like, if you're going to be editing episodes together, like, you know, that would be nice if you spread out how people were winning, since three of them were won by a splash today. But I think
he did the rope walk shooting star, didn't he, for the win? I think Commander rope walk shooting star. Yeah, that's I know they all just plan together. When you see 4,000 squashes, folks, it all looks like a splash at the end of the day.
My notes were probably just copied and pasted down this whole thing. Why did this match happen? Who is on what brand? Won by splash. It probably just got copy-pasted. Like
copy-pasted. Yeah, looks right. Looks right to me.
The name. Commander, I'm sure. Yeah, now that I'm thinking of it more clearly, yes, he won with the cool-ass thing he always does.
Yeah, cool. He always does, and he only gets wins on Ring of Honor. So yeah, he's not getting choked out by Marina Shafir here, which he should have probably. But that's besides the point. But no, I like Commander and AR Fox together. I like seeing AR Fox. It looked like he was having fun here, and Commander actually got a win. So it's a rarity. So it's like seeing a solar eclipse.
Yeah, they have a lot of luchadors that they have to get involved in stories. It feels like Beast Mortos has some very definitive plans with him, and it feels like Hologram obviously does as well, but they have a lot of talent who I know there's obstacles with. People go back to work in Mexico, people with visa issues and all sorts of things, and injuries, because it's such a high risk style. But I would like to see some more consistency with that for sure. But we had a really, really fun main event, and boy, oh boy, am I happy to see Lio Rush on my television on a weekly basis.
We had the Harley and Rachel Ellering
second. Oh my gosh, what am I? I can't believe I forgot it. The mothering.
That was number two.
The mothering. What am I saying? Oh, Rachel Ellering, or as Harley calls her, Reh. But yeah. Why don't we talk about that real quick? I'll let you take the lead since you remembered it.
So Harley Cameron was getting interviewed, and she's coming off a loss to Queen Albanada. So it was basically a reversal of roles, where Rachel Ellery came in and is like, "Oh, is this Ring of Honor? Is this Ring of Honor? Oh, Harley, how you doing?" And then she took back the handshake from her when she reached out. She was like, "Oh, so you lost out there? Oh, come up short. It's gonna be okay. It's gonna be okay, youngster. It's gonna be fine." I enjoyed Rachel Ellery giving Harley Cameron the treatment that she gave her previously, and especially it made sense because Rachel got a win last week. See, this is actually week-to-week storytelling, where last week I was complaining that we didn't get a follow-up for her and Harley, but I like the fact that they waited to do the backstage segment after Harley lost. That made sense. That is where I will tip my cap to them, that they proved me wrong, that they have still a plan here with Rachel Ellering and Harley Cameron. Probably the only bit of storytelling that went from last week to this week on the show, but I'll take it.
What a creative effort there. But Rachel Ellering doing a fantastic Harley Cameron impression. Really, really fun. Really, really, really fun in this. And for some reason, Rocky Romero and Lio Rush close us out. I have no idea why this was the main event at all, but it was a great match. It was a great match. These two familiar with each other, obviously, from New Japan and just clashes around the world. But I was glad to see this match. I have no idea why it was in the main event. I don't fully know why it happened, but the ring quality on something like this is just so high, and I love getting to see Rocky Romero in action. He has kind of had a second wind in his career, I feel like, with all the front office work he's been doing, but that's trickled over into the ring, and he's so reliable, and he's so versatile with whoever you want to put him in the ring with. Like, it's always going to look good, whether it's a Haas or a Tekker or Leo Rush. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, you're going to see him put on a really great match. So, loved that this closed us out. What did you think of our main event?
I thought this had strong storytelling with the fact that Leo early on was using his speed to kind of keep the kind of older, more experienced Rocky on the back foot. So Rocky started working over his back to kind of slow him down, to kind of keep him on his back and like work over like a couple of submissions and moves on the mat. So it made sense. And then Leo was able to get his second wind and kind of use his speed again to hit his big move, hit the rebound stunner, and then finish him off with the final hour. That was the third match that had a splash for the victory. That was the one you were looking
for.
That
was the one. I literally probably did that in my notes. I probably just put the wrong finish with the wrong thing. Story tracks.
But I really enjoyed this match. This was a very good matchup. I would say probably one of the better matchups that we've seen over the last couple of weeks, because Rocky Romero is the consummate professional and just so good at what he does. And Leo Rush is just so underrated. But my nitpick here, you could have had this match last week to make sense of Leo Rush getting a TNT championship match on Dynamite this week.
Sure could have, but lazy editing, really handicapping the past few weeks of content, truly, which is unfortunate. But what's not unfortunate is that we got the TNA show on the back of this, so stay tuned, give them your support. They are going to talk to you all about tonight's episode. We've got this continuation of the NXT crossover. We're going to bring them on right now.
Hi. Hello.
Hi, Joel.
Joel and Cresta.
Cressa's audio might not be working.
I don't know what's happening.
She's back.
She's rebuking me. I'm getting rebuked so hard today.
Well, we adore you in whatever form that you're able to appear. So, hello. How was our TNA cruise today?
I had a good time with this show. It was a very welcome distraction. It was a good show. I mean, the main event was... For me at least. I don't know how Joe felt.
Did you guys know that there's a special tomorrow night?
Oh yeah, there's that too.
I didn't know, but I would have guessed. Like, I didn't know that, but if you were like, is there a TNA special tomorrow? I would have been like, probably. What is it? The 13th? Sure. Why wouldn't they?
It happens like every other week, but I knew that because I interviewed Moose. That's up on sportsillustrated.com right now. So
look at you. I love that.
Did you know that Moose is challenging for the TNA World Championship tomorrow night against Nick Nemeth?
Yeah, I did. I did know that because I talked to him. That's it. That's the only reason.
Honest to God, if you were like, Kate, pick three things that are happening in TNA Impact, that would have been on the list. It would have been like, there is a special tomorrow and Moose is challenging for the title. Like, that would have been, it might not have been the first thing that came to my head, but it would have been like, at least, it probably would have been number two. Like, of course, why wouldn't it be Moose?
Will there Speedball be Mike Bailey's wrestling.
He will be wrestling. He is on the show. He's wrestling the new X Division champion, Zachary Wentz. Now, take a wild guess. Were either men on tonight's show?
No, of course not.
No, they were not.
Of course not. Of course not.
I have a lot of things to say. We took last week off and everything went off the rails. And Cresta's now Snapchat, Starfleet Command. What are we doing?
With Cresta, they were like, she can't even be seen on camera because she's like, this is how bad the episode was. But we kind of share your plight over here on the ROH side, by the way.
Oh,
we like had a really good like strand of programming, and then just like no,
they went back on the road. Like,
these are from the Texas tapings. This is just edited. This is just edited, mishmashed, left on the floor garbage.
This is like the TNA end of year special. We're just getting shit out of the way.
Yeah, basically. Basically, did it make any sense with what has happened in AEW the past 2 weeks? No, it did not.
Nope.
Y'all going to Mexico next week and going to film a bunch of stuff with AAA? You're going to do that too?
Gonna head out.
I would hope. Bye.
Gonna head out. You gonna do, love you guys. You
gonna do a special in a gym in Mississauga? You want to do that too?
In where?
Outside of Toronto.
Bye now.
No, no, good night,
Ronner crew.
Good night.
That's crazy.
Oh, God. Bye, SP3.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Make no mistake, Trump-backed Bernie Moreno was a MAGA mistake for black families in Ohio.
We're not going to replace racism in this country from decades ago with a new form of racism, which is what DEI is.
If Bernie Moreno is elected senator, he will support the MAGA playbook and implement the thinly disguised Racist Project 2025 agenda. That means ending diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that exist to correct the impacts of racism. MAGA extremists like Moreno believe programs that have helped our families are entitlement programs, but they have no problem giving their buddies a boost by passing more tax giveaways for rich folks like themselves. Black Americans like me have worked hard and persevered in fighting for a fair shot. We've come too far to let self-serving extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. That's why we must re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. He has fought for equal opportunity for black families and will continue to do so. Go to OhioVoterGuide.org and register by October 7th. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.